Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because my king would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? To my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor
made it. It's raining and all that. I'm walking over and talking to Philip for a minute, but I just had like the perfect storm of broken stuff over the last few days. I had a little shelf in my refrigerator split, and I'm sure there was a kid involved, and a door got kicked off the hinge, and I know for a fact there was a kid involved. And then the steering mechanism on the four-wheeler is really wonked out, so I had to order a spring compressor. And I was involved in that one. That's kind of my boo-boo. And then my dash lights on my truck, half of them didn't work. Well, it kind of depends on which half, but this was the speedometer side, so I got interested. So I pulled that thing apart yesterday. Wouldn't you know, it's not like screwed-in bulbs. They're soldered in. This is a GM replacement part, $260. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm looking at it. I did go to Trident Tech, and I can't operate a soldering iron. So I thought, well, I'll put it back together because I like having a dashboard in the truck when I'm commuting. So I reassembled it. And then it was weird. The half that didn't work does work. So I can see my speedometer now. But the other half that was working doesn't work. So I don't really know how hot the engine's running. And that's just like kind of how my day ended yesterday. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, you know, what am I doing wrong? And then I call Charlie. Well, you can see where this is going. And he pointed out a long series of gross deficiencies in my handling of kids. And he didn't question my electronic skill, but I think that's pretty evident. So I'm looking at it and going, all right, well. And I think for myself, I notice this. Like I'll have deficiency, something I'm not doing right. And the Lord's good. He doesn't necessarily hit me with a hammer. I'm not saying that isn't possibly in the cards. If I wanted to stray far enough, he could do something like, well, chop off an arm. I mean, if he was really hacked off, but, this wasn't that, but I've had at work and at home, and it's interesting how this lines up, and I've seen it a lot more actually since I shifted into the job I'm in. I'll see parallels, you know. If I'm failing to do something right at home, it's usually I'm failing to do it on the job, and I get corrected a lot quicker on the job because my boss is a very kind-hearted but quite direct person, and he'll point that out pretty quick. And what I hadn't been doing is holding the people around me to account. And even in a low-level management position, you can see why, when you have to do this, I don't want to do that. I don't want to write somebody up. I don't want to spank a kid. And, I mean, what is that? It's like putting me over. I'm putting my desire to be liked, essentially, over what I need to do. And that would seem to be, like, in my mind, rooted in, like, humility, but that's not really true, because humility would say, you know, if you're in a position, like they say locally, you're wearing the uniform, so you have to step up. And I think all the adults in here has seen that, either as parents or, you know, dealing with coworkers or contractors, people that you need to step up and do what they have to do. And that took me to Psalm 9, and it starts out with, I will praise the Lord, something to that effect. So the first couple of verses, I will worship the Lord, I will praise God. And we have that free will, and we have to bend that will, have to put that will to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. And that comes out in really everything we do. You know, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything that was made, something like that. And then it says, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But to them that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So if that seems a little disjointed, it's like this. There's things that we need to do and things that within ourselves we either really don't want to do or really aren't capable of doing. But if we choose to bend our will, to point our will to serve Christ, it says to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And that power can be something as simple as being willing to punish a kid when you don't want to do it, or being willing to hold a coworker to accountability, or ourselves within the body. It talks about in the book of James toward the end, if you see your brother err, you go to your brother. You don't go to your brother's brother. You don't broadcast it about. But if you see somebody off track, you go to them, and that's love. But see, I don't want to do that because I have a very deep-rooted sense of my own sin, error, deficiency, not too sharp, on it goes. I could think of a lot of reasons why I wouldn't be the right guy to do that. But if you talk to anybody, like in your upline in the ministry, all of them have felt that way, all of them. And I mean, right up to Davey. Davey's, he's been real explicit with that, about that with me. And that is something to overcome. That's really it for me this morning.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Exchange it someday for a crown.
Wow, that was a short version. Good morning, everybody.
You were already up here. Good morning.
Once again, we have unbalanced sides. I don't get. Don't get. Symmetry means a lot to me, but okay. So I want to talk for a moment about having hopes and expectations raised and then having them all trashed in the flip of a coin. The only time this season I pulled for Green Bay, it was 4th and 20 with 40 seconds left on the 2-yard line. They completed a 61-yard pass. Then with 5 seconds left on the clock, they completed a 41-yard pass into the end zone. A tie. Overtime. Lost the flip. Lost the game in what, 2 plays? Great. Yeah, I hear you. I think it was an unbalanced coin. And you know what you're left with is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat all in 30 seconds. And that's all you needed to know the game last night, those 30 seconds. It was over, huh? But the truth that comes out of that is the Lord's mercy and grace and loving kindness is everlasting from generation to generation, and He changeth not. You know, even the things that you've relied on the most heavily and have delivered the most abundantly here in this life, they end up disappointing. But the Lord never does. I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. We don't talk about this a whole lot. And I may prove why. I don't know. We'll see. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What is the deceit? The deceit is that you're pleasing God in this thing. What do doers of the word do? It's not that complicated. Doers of the word believe the one whom he has sent. They love God and they love one another on a base level, on a basic level. Depending on where you are with your walk with the Lord, it may be more than that, but on a base level, and it's true for everybody. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. It says glass, but it's also could be mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and we can relate to the mirror part. I know I can. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. It's easy to forget where you came from. You get presumptuous. And it's one of those things that we're quite pleased to forget about. It doesn't commend us well. Like Steve's fond of saying, truth testifies against me. I'm not in a good place. When the truth is spoken, all I can do is say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I'm guilty. Caught red-handed. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, there's multiple things in this verse here. You want what you're doing to be blessed? And you got to do more. Then presumptively forget and thinking you're all right. Hearers of the word only. Just because you listen to the word doesn't mean that you're all right. The word evokes conviction. If you don't do anything with that conviction, you're no better off for having heard it. So once again, we're talking on a base level here. It brings forth conviction and confession unto repentance. Which is abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take it from there. And you believe the word of the one whom the Lord has sent. is Jesus Christ. Do you believe him? You love God, you love one another. You become doers of the work, and he blesses you in that. You can't beat that with a stick. But if you think you're going to get blessed just because you listen to the word and never apply any of it under confession and repentance, if you think you're going to get along without ever loving God and loving one another, and yes, even in sacrificial ways, in 1 John, he who says he abides in him ought also to walk as he walked. What did he walk? How did he walk? He gave his life for those who would believe on the word that he brought, the salvation that he offered. He gave his life for them. This is ultimately in Philippians 2:13, I believe it is, what we pray the Father is working in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. Because it doesn't come naturally. But that part's to believe the one who he sent, believe his word, love him, love one another. Remember where we came from. And then have him pronounce over us that we're doers of the word and not presumptuous hearers only. It's easy to forget what manner of people we are. By just being content to listen. Because if you actually hear, you get convicted. You need a Savior. You need forgiveness. You need to repent. And that's just to become equal, to attain equilibrium again. The Lord's good. He hears. He loves. He saves. He delivers. He heals. His mercy and grace endures from generation to generation. He loves you. He loved you when you hated him. And gave you his son, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm done.
Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Because of you my heart springs. I am free. Oh, I'm free to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. I am free to live for you. I am free. I am free. Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will raise. Through you all hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. Oh, I'm free to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. I am free to live for you. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Paul, you were talking a little bit about being the doer of the word. And one of the things that you said and it's simple. You believe his word is what it comes down to. And really, you're talking also in the sense of how the truth testifies against you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it testifies against me as well. And very much so, very much the case. It testifies against my natural man and always testify against this natural man. That's just going to be the case. Because this natural man does not agree with God in his way at all. I mean, even you even take just the own, you even just take the simplest thing of even using your carnal mind to judge some of the simplest matters, and we're just so far off, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. And it was an interesting thing. It's, I kind of just, you know, I was talking with Steve the other day, and it was very nice to talk to him. It was a while since I talked to him, and it was an interesting place that I got myself into, because one of the things is that I don't know about you, but you ever been in a place where you just feels like the walls are closing in on every side? Okay, and then you got so much, I mean, you feel like you got so much to do, that you got to get done, that is just pushed off upon you. Okay, that it's just too much, and you kind of sit back and go, "All right, bro, you kidding me? This is too freaking much." And it was an interesting place in that sense, is because when I was looking at this whole thing and looking at others, or looking at situations, or looking at all these things about all this stuff being put on me, in this sense, it just was overwhelming, overbearing, and all these things. When I came down to the truth of the matter in that situation, and when I really came down, I mean, it was just one morning when I really came down to the truth of the matter, and that it was nobody that was putting all that on me. The Lord wasn't putting all that on me. It wasn't people putting that on me. It wasn't situations putting that on me. It was my own freaking self. It was my own self putting all that on me. And it's because it's kind of an interesting thing, because I think we've preached the past couple of weeks about his yoke being easy and his burden being light and entering into his rest and all these things. And then coming across to this realization. So I'm not really a good judge of where I'm at, if I'm a doer of the word, or if I'm not a doer of the word, or what the case may be, because, or if I'm loving, even loving my brother or not. I mean, because some of the things is, I'm loving my brother with a filios love, or my brother or my sister with a filios love, and it ain't doing them a bit of damn good at all. And I walk away thinking, oh man, I just love my brother and my sister just then, pat myself on the back, and then it goes and wakes up, and the realization of something comes and says, oh, you did absolutely no good but made things worse. Well, that's great. Well, that's great. That's how we are. That's why he didn't give us this carnal mind. He didn't give us this carnal mind to use. No, he gave us his mind. Okay? He gave us his yoke. Okay? And his burden is light. So I'm using all these as examples of how we are carnally, and how we are in the natural man, or how I am in the natural man, as I sit here and testify. How I am in the natural man, and how the truth really just testifies against me, and how really living in that natural carnal man is just not a joy at all. But living in his mind and in his body is a great joy. I mean, some of the greatest joy I've ever had. And when I say that, I mean, because I used to do a lot of dope, make me feel good. And there was nothing could compare. I mean, there was no high out there that could compare to the joy of the Lord. None. And it's not all about feeling good and all this. That's not what I'm getting at. But the joy of the Lord is real. Okay, it's not tied to this flesh. But I want to go, in my mind, kind of as Paul's preaching up here, my mind kind of was going from place to place in this. And I think I want to go to Matthew 25:32. And it said, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw ye we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw ye we thee sick or in prison and he came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, and as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And I wanted to hit that point because the sheep there, they did not even recognize. You were talking about loving God, loving one another, Paul. And I heard just the clips of Ricky talking a little bit last week about loving God, loving one another. Just a little Kletcher, but the sheep didn't even recognize. That's what they were doing. Didn't even recognize it. Didn't even recognize it. And when Ricky was preaching a little bit, one thing that I heard him say, and it was just a clip, so I didn't get the full, maybe I shouldn't be opening my mouth if I didn't listen to the whole thing, but going to anyways, I'm sure, but anyways. One of the things he says, he goes, you're fooling yourself if you think you're loving God and hating your brother. 1 John says, absolutely. But I wanted to highlight that because it is amazing. I mean, if you think that you're actually doing that, being the doer of the word, loving God, loving one another, and you're quite pleased with yourself in that, you might want to really check out what you are doing. you might want to check out what you're doing, because it's an interesting thing how this folds out. And I remember talking with Sue and at a particular time, and the Lord really used Ricky and Sue in a great way in my life. The Lord really used them to love me through some really hard times and struggles and battles that I have had. And I mean, they took me in. They fed me. They clothed me. They gave me a place to live. They gave me job opportunity. I mean, over and over and over again. I mean, it was like where, you know, where Jesus tells the disciples, you know, or where Peter asked Jesus, I'm sorry, and how many times should we forgive our brother? Until 70 times 7. Oh my goodness! I mean, that's what it was kind of like with Rick and Sue. Hey, the Lord increased our faith as it was had. But one thing that was operating there was Jesus' love. Operating right through as a conduit. Rick and Sue there. And if I, when I was talking to Sue, and I think if I would talk to Rick, they didn't even realize that they were doing that. I mean, I'm sure there were some times where they're like, all right, homie's got to go. I mean, don't hear me wrong. That's not what I'm getting at. But look, there was the times all that they see. When I was talking to Sue at this time, this is years ago, all that she sees, she goes, I see that Rick did that for you, Phil. I didn't see that I did that for you. But sure enough, she did. She didn't even realize it. So it was an amazing thing in that sense. And it is amazing when I was a little bit talking about the hour of truth in that whole sense, is where you see what happens is the Lord's grace and His love supersedes us. That's really the point I wanted to get to. It absolutely supersedes us. Because we're messed up. We are so screwed up. It's not even funny. And we get caught up and wrapped up in ourselves so often. At least I do. Get caught up and wrapped up in ourselves so much. But the Lord is bigger than all that. And I can remember, and I remember Scott and Gail, and it was like 13, 15, some massive amount of people in one house in Vermont, where it was Steve and Charlie and Ricky and all these people. They grew up in the same household there, and they're about ready to tear each other's throat out, according to a couple of testimonies of some others. And then when Scott and Gail came, what they came and they saw was, what was testified to them and what they saw was the people, they loved one another greatly. And then, but in their natural selves, man, I mean, they were just, man, ready to tear a hole in one another. So the Lord blinded their eyes.
They also saw love for them. Scott and Gail.
Right. Yeah, love for them. But the point and the thing that I'm coming down to in this is that how great our Lord is. How big He is. And we need to really lay down our own will. Not bend it, man. Lay it down. Okay? And I have a hard time doing that, man, because I really don't freaking want to do it. I mean, I struggle with it. Really don't. I have to turn and repent and lay that nasty thing down, my own will. It's terrible. But lay that thing down. And we need to put our eyes on Jesus and what He is able to do. We really do. Because it always amazed me. It always amazed me when I would get a testimony of me being any help or of somebody seeing Jesus' love in me for them. It just amazes me. And I know that's not my work. That's nothing I did. That has everything to do with Jesus and His love and His Spirit and His mercy and His grace and what He's able to do in the midst of any situation and His love for each and every single one of you. Because He takes our foul-ups. I'd much rather use another word because it really describes it a lot better. But He takes our foul-ups and He redeems those and turns it around to His glory. And can use those foul-ups for Him to reveal Himself even more than we could ever imagine. Set our eyes on Him. Trust in His ability. And the rest you just don't worry about. Really just don't worry about anything else. Don't even worry about it. Just lay your thing down, your will down, man. Just put your eyes on Him. Because He is far bigger than you, your depravity, your inability. He's far bigger than all that. And what needs to be manifested is just that. Not you. And praise God. Man, that's just a load I don't want to carry. That's a load you don't want to carry. And that's a load we don't have to carry. Amen?
should be glad. Yes, let them rejoice in gladness. God is triumphed by the meek.
Let's slow it down for a minute here.
I wanted to announce that one of the things that I said was that people in Vermont, I went there, they weren't at each other's throat, is what David said. That wasn't true. I just heard that they were, how can I say it, that they were not being very loving one to another. I don't know. But he said that wasn't the case. They had their struggles. But
yeah.
And he said it was an extreme exaggeration. So my apologies there.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.